Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. Happy Friday. Ari Wasserman is back for a Friday show. We're back at home now. We're not on location anymore. There will be no incidents where the computer overheats and the podcast is nearly lost, causing me to release a stream of profanities. But then the podcast wasn't lost. It was a whole thing. If you heard last Friday's episode, you understand. But Ari is here. We have some very exciting stuff today. We got a little football to talk about. A couple scheduling things going on that we have talked about over the years as possibilities that now seem very real. One thing that might start as early as next year, and it's in the ACC, and I made some people very mad with something I didn't even know was a thing, and maybe it isn't a thing, but I'll be curious to see what you guys have to say about that. And then later in the show, we have a very exciting topic. We had a listener ask us a great hypothetical. It's kind of an Ari Wasserman-esque hypothetical. It's not the psycho killer turtle that chases you around the country, but it's close. So Westwood Bruins asked, if you guys had to choose only five places to eat at for the rest of your life, what would you choose? You can eat at home, of course, but these are the only five places, even if you're international, so you have to find these places. So basically, I made the rule that you had to pick a national chain because obviously we don't want to be like my little taco place in front of my house. No, we want everybody to be able to get involved and get in the debate here. So we will be drafting the five restaurants that we can eat at for the rest of our lives, and we're not allowed to eat anywhere else.
And does that draft involve you having to potentially move?
Well, I mean, if you picked a bunch of restaurants in a city where you don't live. But if it's national chains, then there's a good chance you live
because
here.
Because I do think that if you are only allowed to eat at those places forever, then it would be a good enough reason to relocate if you have to, in my opinion.
I can understand that, but we're doing national chains because we don't want someone who lives in Seattle to not have any frame of reference if we talk about a bunch
of
restaurants.
Is In-N-Out a national chain, or is that only a regional chain?
I think
chain?
That's close enough.
Because I picked restaurants that everybody knows what they are, yes. But they're not in every city.
Okay, that's fine. If they're in a number of states, you know, if they're in five states or more, I think we're all right.
You might have to twist my arm and relocate to LA.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, you don't. There's In-N-Out in Dallas, right? You don't have to relocate.
Don't tell. Yeah, and I want to relocate to California.
I know you do. Okay. So yeah, you that's fine. Like Torchy's Tacos, that's one. They're expanding. They started in Texas. They're in Oklahoma, Colorado now.
No, because I don't think Torchy's Tacos is something that everybody knows what it is. I think everybody has to know what it is.
Okay, all right, that's fine. That's fine. That works for the ground rule. So we will be getting to that shortly. But first, we got to talk a little scheduling. I was at the ACC spring meetings in Amelia Island this week, and that was the big topic. Well, the other big topic was how do you solve the governance of college sports? Guess what? Nobody's fixing that anytime soon. But it may be possible that the ACC changes its scheduling very soon and that the schedule is different next year and that divisions, the Atlantic and the Coastal, go away. Ari, pop quiz hotshot. Who's in the Atlantic?
Oh, I don't know.
You're not even going to try?
The Atlantic... I know, isn't the Atlantic the one where a different team won it in seven different years?
That's the Coastal. The Atlantic.
So we're like way off.
The Atlantic is Clemson, Florida State, Louisville, Boston College, Syracuse, Wake Forest.
I'm going to make an admission if we want to start the show by exposing how much of an idiot I am. I have to look up SEC East and West sometimes.
That's a little weird. But the Atlantic and Coastal.
I get confused with geography all the time. Yeah. It's not weird. It's just who I am.
Virginia. No, Virginia's in the Coastal. Sorry. The Atlantic and Coastal are completely arbitrary. They're very hard to remember, even if you've been covering the ACC for a long time.
But I could do the Coastal because I know which teams won the conference.
The division. The all seven won them in a seven-year period.
And I think I can name all seven of them.
Okay, go for it.
Pitt,
mm-hmm.
Miami, Virginia Tech, mm-hmm. North Carolina.
Correct.
Georgia Tech won it 1 year.
Yep.
How many did I just name?
You named all but one. They played Florida State.
Did I say Miami yet?
You did say Miami. They played this team played Florida State in the 2013 ACC title game.
I know the answer just because I know they're North Carolina's rival. It's Duke.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could name the other half now.
Well, it's the other teams in the ACC.
No, I know, but I would forget one. Can I try?
You can try. I just named them all, I think. I might have missed one.
Wake Forest.
Correct.
Clemson.
Yep.
Louisville.
Yes.
North Carolina State.
Correct.
Wake Forest. Yep. Boston College.
Correct. One more. Play a zone defense. 2-3 zone.
Syracuse.
Yep. So it's hard.
Sorry, I thought I was...
These have been a thing for 17 years, and people still don't know them. Like, we follow the sport very closely. So...
Yeah, I don't even know if I could do the Pac-12 ones.
You could.
It's just north and south?
Yeah.
So I could just do it geographically?
You should be able to.
Yeah. Okay. We don't
remember
have to play
that Boulder
game
is below the Mason-Dixon line, and that will help you.
Yeah. I think that they're subjective and dumb.
So that's the thing. They're unnecessary. And the ACC, of all the leagues, understands best why you don't need divisions, because they played divisionless in 2020. Notre Dame was playing a conference schedule, and two ACC teams made the playoff. Both participants in the ACC championship game made the 4-team playoff. So they've discovered it, and they want to do away with divisions. So the most popular plan, the one that feels most likely to pass, is 3 permanent opponents and then 5 other spots in the schedule. Stays an 8-team schedule. The SEC is going to probably go to 9, but the ACC is going to stay at 8, because remember, 5 of those teams have to play Notre Dame every year in what is essentially a conference game. So you'd have 3 permanent opponents, and then the other 10 teams in the league, the other 10 opponents, would rotate through twice every 4 years. So,
and then you use the 3 permanent ones to preserve rivalries, create rivalries.
Correct.
Geographical footprint stuff.
That sort of thing, yes.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
So that's the plan. And it's exciting. The SEC is going to have this conversation in Destin in a couple weeks too. So it's going to be even more probably contentious. And they're not done. I don't think they're quite done on format yet. I had been told they were leaning toward 3 permanent opponents, and then the other 6 games you rotate everybody through twice every 4 years, kind of similar to this one. But there were some schools that were like, wait a second, we don't want to finish number 15 or number 16. So can we have some divisions, or can we have like 4-team divisions where the worst you can be is 4th? I don't think that's going to wind up happening. I think they're probably going to come to a similar conclusion, but we'll see. They've still got to hash things out, and they have more time. The ACC would like to start doing this in 2023. The SEC, my guess is, what, Texas and Oklahoma will be there at the latest 2025. There still may be a way that the Texas and Oklahoma get there in 24, which is when the SEC's new TV deal starts, and perhaps they pay a few dollars more than the Big 12 would have gotten had they stayed in the whole time. So maybe that happens, but the ACC is ready to rock and roll. And this will, the rule's going to get tweaked about the conference championship game, so you won't have to have divisions as of next week, probably. So, but Matt Fortune and I took a crack at the 3 permanent opponents, and man, some people got mad at us. First of all, we talked to a few people, and Florida State's athletic director mentioned he'd like to have Syracuse along with Clemson and Miami, because he'd like to get them into some other markets. And Matt was talking to him and said, well, what about Georgia Tech? I mean, that's your next closest, geographically closest. He's like, well, we feel like we're in Atlanta anyway. And so we put Syracuse as one of Florida State's 3. We said Clemson, Florida State, or Clemson, Miami, and Syracuse. It's not going to be. It's probably going to be Georgia Tech. I can tell you that right now. Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Miami, probably the 3 for Florida State if they did it now.
I mean, can't fault the guy for trying to get a guaranteed win on the schedule every year.
Yeah, well, especially when Deion takes over at Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, anytime you have a chance to go play in upstate New York for your new
Central
recruiting.
Central New York.
Yeah. Upstate Central New York, wherever that is. It's all I know is it's somewhere on the 9-hour drive from Cleveland to New York. But they do have a very good grocery store there that we're not allowed to draft on our list.
Wegmans?
Yes, I had a sandwich there, and it was among one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my entire life, and it's a grocery store.
Yeah.
And their beer section is like the size of like a Walmart.
Well, I appreciate that. And they also,
yeah, it's a really great grocery store. So Syracuse, stand up. But yeah, I think there would be some. So the cracks that you and Fortuna took were just guesses, right?
Mostly. I mean, so a lot of them, there are rivalries that you know they're going to keep. Obviously, North Carolina and Duke are going to play. North Carolina and NC State are going to play. I left Georgia Tech with Duke because they've played each other every year since the 30s. It was a little harder.
North Carolina has to get Duke, NC State, and Wake Forest?
They don't have to get Wake Forest. You know, they've not been playing. They remember, they scheduled the two non-conference games with Wake Forest because the current schedule only had them playing like once every 7 years. But they don't have to. I gave Wake, Duke, NC State, and Virginia. Because Wake and Virginia have been playing a long time. Virginia, North Carolina is one that I didn't have that maybe probably should have. The one that drew the most anger on the internet. So I had Virginia Tech playing Virginia, Louisville, and Boston College. They got real mad about Boston College. Did something happen in the Big East that I don't remember?
What are they mad about? I don't know. I don't
they really
what
don't
want to
play
about.
Boston College every year. They'd rather play
what's the reason
somebody else. I think they'd rather play Miami every year, which I'm fine with. If I had Florida State, BC, and Pitt with Miami, I'm perfectly happy switching out somebody for Virginia Tech. Obviously, they're going to have to play Florida State. But
the hardest thing about doing this is that you want to, as a consumer of the sport, put the three best teams in the conference as the other best two. But you have to be fair to the teams that don't get a messed up schedule every year.
And you also have to have some competitive equity, too. This is one where I've done this exercise with the SEC a few times because this plan's been out there a while. And like, you could really screw Auburn if you wanted to, because everybody looks at all like likes to play Auburn. There's so many programs that like to play Auburn. So they're going to get Alabama and Georgia, but Florida played Auburn every year for a long time. Those fans love that rivalry. Auburn and Tennessee, the fans love that one. Auburn and LSU is a fun one. I would think the fans would love that to continue. But if they're going to give them Alabama and Georgia, don't you have to give them Vanderbilt to be fair?
Do you know what this is reminding me of? And I don't want to take this off topic.
Oh, by all means.
This whole thing is reminding me of just how messed up the Big Ten alignment is.
Well,
because it's just like you just said they don't want to screw Auburn. It's just like, oh, so basically you're saying they're Michigan State in that scenario?
Or Rutgers or Maryland.
Or any of the other teams.
The Big Ten's going to have this discussion too. They've already kicked around the idea of ditching divisions. And look, divisions are dumb. We've had this discussion on the podcast a bunch of times. They hurt you in the playoff chase because if you've got a four-team playoff, you have a chance of a fluky, bad division winner beating a good division winner and knocking your whole league out of the playoff. If you have a 12-team playoff, you want number one versus number two because then you have the chance, if number two beats number one, that they both get in. And maybe they both get in anyway, but
yeah, I mean, in rare scenarios, they get in anyway, but that would ensure it.
Yeah. So I think this is the best way to go. Matt and I's idea might not be we might not have the three for every school, and I'm perfectly okay with
it. Why don't you read them off, Andy? Because I think it looks good.
Boston College, I have Miami, Syracuse, and Virginia Tech. I tried to keep old Big East matchups there. Clemson, I had Georgia Tech, Florida State, and NC State. The Textile Bowl between Clemson and NC State. And they've played some really good games over the last few years. And I just feel like they're similarly situated. They're both agricultural, mechanical, engineering type schools. And they both have great fan bases. It's probably the two best atmospheres in the – well, I mean, Virginia Tech would have something to say about that. Florida State, when they're good, would have something to say about that. But two of the better atmospheres in the league. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that game every year. Duke, I had North Carolina, Wake, and Georgia Tech. Florida State, I had Miami, Clemson, and Syracuse. I think that's probably going to be Miami, Clemson, and Georgia Tech in real life. Duke, I had Clemson, Duke, and Louisville. I'm sorry, Georgia Tech, I had Clemson, Duke, and Louisville. Louisville, I had Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech. Miami, Florida State, Boston College, Pitt. North Carolina, I had Duke, NC State, and Virginia. NC State, Clemson, Wake Forest, North Carolina. Pitt, Louisville, Miami, Syracuse. Syracuse, I had Boston College, Florida State, and Pitt. Virginia, I had Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Wake Forest. Virginia Tech, I had Virginia, Louisville, Boston College, and Wake, I had playing Duke, NC State, and Virginia. So,
yeah. I mean, it's just tent poles of your schedule.
Yeah, and
You still can play some of the other games that are missing from this. It's just you get bogged down by looking at those three and go, well, what about those other matchups? It's like, they'll come.
But the thing is, they're going to play them. They'll exist. And I think that's the difference. I think we're all kind of screwed up in the head with these really boring divisional schedules that are being played in every league now, where teams aren't seeing each other but once every 7 years. Like the reason I got on this kick a couple years ago was in 2019, I went to Auburn during Florida week, and Gus Malzahn's up there at the podium going, well, I've never coached in Gainesville before. And I'm like, how is that even possible? Like, he was the OC for a year at Arkansas. He'd been the OC at Auburn and then the head coach at Auburn. I mean, he'd been in the league for a long time at that point. Like, how had he never wound up in Gainesville? And then they bring in Jack Driscoll, who was one of their offensive tackles who had transferred from UMass, and he'd played in almost as many SEC stadiums as his teammates had, because they were bye games for a bunch of teams.
Yeah, I remember when I was covering Ohio State, they didn't play at Minnesota. They played there once in like 10 years. And I was always very upset about that because I like Minnesota.
Oh, Minneapolis, great town.
And it was just like, how many trips to Purdue do I get before I get to go back to Minneapolis? And it's just kind of funny how certain teams just miss each other on the schedule for long periods of time.
Yeah, and it's no fun, especially like that Florida-Auburn thing where they were annual rivals for a long, long time.
And you can restore that
with
this.
Or at least they play twice every 4 years.
Yes.
So, you know,
which is better than,
I'm excited because I think this is going to make for better television. It will probably sell more season tickets in all these leagues. I mean, that's the SEC. I know there have been some significant complaints from Florida fans, from Georgia fans. I think LSU fans, like they just get a lot of the same every year, or it just feels monotonous, and they'd like some variety. And so ACC, I think, probably the same thing. You know, a little variety goes a long way.
New is always good.
Yeah. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors. New rivalries may form out of this. And nobody says you
have the other thing.
You don't have to keep this for 50 years. You can shuffle it every 10 if you want to.
Yeah, what if you did every 10 years, you just shuffled it up a little bit?
I think it'd be fun.
Unless you ruin, but you could keep some of the historical rivalries intact permanently, but you can shuffle it up like the Georgia Tech Syracuse example. Like, you could flip that.
Right, but if you have a couple of teams that play like three classic games, you know, so in a 10
makes it harder.
In a 10-year period, they would play five times. You'd have, you know, non-annual opponents playing five times. If four of the five were classic games, you might want to put those two together permanently but every year for 10 years, for the next 10 years, just to see. Because if it gets good, that's what the divisional thing created, some new rivalries and killed some old ones. And I don't mind them kind of tinkering with it to figure out what the best mix is. So I'm excited about this. Like, this feels very different and fresh. And like, the fact that this could happen next year is really pretty exciting. Cause when we talk scheduling, it's usually like, well, in 2033, this will happen.
It is really funny because college football is such a game of people who don't want anything to change ever, but the changes resulting would result into really, really cool things. And it's like this constant tug of war of like, you're a person who doesn't want to see your legendary team wear throwback or alternate uniforms, but those uniforms are really cool and new. You don't want a new playoff system, but the new playoff system is really, really cool. You don't want to change the way they schedule or get rid of the divisions, but the new way is really, really cool. And it's like this constant battle between never changing anything ever to honor the sanctity of the game, or changing everything and doing new things that attract more television audience and enjoyment from the people who pay the money to go watch these games.
It's an entertainment business, and I think people forget that sometimes. But the division thing's funny to me. When people act like the divisions are something sacred, ACC divisions have been around since 2005. They're not 100 years old. SEC divisions have been around since 1992. They're the oldest ones. That's still not that old.
What do you think the threshold of something has to happen for X number of years in college football before it becomes something that people feel like you can't change? Because it's like already the playoff system, and you and I have minor disagreements about the new playoff system, funny enough, but it's only, what, 8 years old now?
Yeah. Yeah.
But people act like it's like the Ten Commandments or something.
Yeah, and the, the BCS lasted 15 years.
So it's like, I think like it's natural for, you know, that movie Heavyweights. It's a cleansing hike. You know, you want to change things, you know, and try something new.
Oh, I'm with you. And look, this is there are much bigger issues that they have to deal with. I talked to Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, on Thursday, and he was talking about the need for different governance. Does football need to break off? Does the NCAA need to be kind of torn down and rebuilt from scratch? Those are huge issues that will require years to deal with. This is the sort of thing you can make that decision and you can get going on it. Like the ACC.
Can I break your heart too?
Go for it.
If you're not an ACC fan, I don't think people would even notice.
Well, this is the part about the Virginia Tech Boston College thing that I was like, because I follow the sport pretty closely. I'm like, what did I miss here? Why are you guys so mad?
The best thing about being a sports writer is saying something that you think is completely benign and then getting a million hateful and terrifying comments and not even knowing what. I mean, that's happened to me quite a bit too. So don't beat yourself up. Or maybe there was something that happened in 1968 that you're unaware of and you know, people remember. You know, it's just kind of the
I'm
way
like,
it is.
But I'm like, a trip to Boston sounds good. You know, good
maybe
seafood.
Virginia Tech's like, thinks that playing Boston College every 3 years is an insult because they view their program in a higher regard.
Right. And if we're talking old Big East rivalries, then Miami probably is the one I should have picked for them. Let's be perfectly honest. I mean, that makes more sense. So I'm perfectly willing to admit I made a mistake on that and reshuffle the deck. And I am curious because I think they want to, what Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the ACC, said is they want to run it by their TV partner, which is they're just on ESPN. So they want to run it by them and see what they say about it and how they feel. My guess is that the executives at ESPN will say, great, this sounds like more interesting games because it's not the same thing over and over and over again. So by all means,
I don't know why a TV
roll.
Executive would have a problem with new, unique matchups.
Right.
Which is the entire concept of non-conference scheduling to begin with.
Right. Especially, like, let's say they kept divisions and what Mario Cristobal is doing at Miami works and Miami gets really good. And then Clemson gets back to being what it has been. Well, they're only going to play once every 6 or 7 years? Like,
yeah.
I'd rather see them play more often. That's just me.
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
So I look forward to seeing how this works. I really look forward 2 weeks in Destin when the SEC folks start talking about this in earnest. And look, the SEC folks have been talking about this for over a year now. So, and I think it was originally brought up before the pandemic and then the pandemic happened and they had, you know, bigger fish to fry, but that one's going to be an all-out slugfest once they come up with the model to figure out how everything gets arranged, because nothing stirs the blood and fires up the coaches and the ADs and the fans in the SEC like scheduling.
Yeah. I am 100% behind it. So I want to see more games. I want to see different matchups. I want to see things that we haven't seen before. And I think at times it could be a nice brush of fresh air. And if you know anything about me, I'm always not so heavy on the tradition and more into change and new things.
I like to be entertained. I like the tradition, but if the tradition is boring, it's not worth keeping. The traditions that are interesting, by all means, let's preserve them. So, speaking of what may become a new tradition, you just texted me. The NFL schedule is being released as we are recording this podcast. And so all the teams are sending out their social media videos with their schedule. And you just sent me what the Chargers announced for the Jaguars. And it appears to be Urban Meyer on a bar stool.
It does.
In Columbus.
With a jaguar head.
That is, wow.
Yeah. I mean, Twitter pettiness is really, really getting good. And I don't know if people are here for it or not here for it, but that is, Landis sent that to me and I thought that that was hilarious.
That is world-class trolling. By the way, right before we started recording, I got on Twitter, in the podcast with Brody Miller, where we're talking LSU, we kept using CEO and I said it was an acronym. And a guy's like, CEO is not an acronym, Andy. And so I think, oh, I got this dude. And so I quote tweet him. I'm like, you sure about that? Chief, and in parentheses, executive officer. And everybody starts laughing. And he writes back, oh, I'm absolutely sure, because here's what an acronym means, and posts the definition of it. And I go look it up and I'm like, oh, damn, he's right. So an acronym, I was today years old when I learned that an acronym is a bunch of letters together that you say as a word. So like SCUBA or EPCOT. So if we
pronounce SCUBA is an acronym?
SCUBA, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Never heard that in my
EPCOT life. EPCOT is the experimental prototype city of tomorrow.
Never heard
NATO,
that.
NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
I know that NATO is one. So, but I thought, are you for SCUBA, Luban? Like, I didn't know, like, SCUBA.
Yeah. Yep. So
I thought SCUBA was just the word for SCUBA.
So unless I can get every one of us to start pronouncing CEO CO, I'm wrong. So I have admitted I'm wrong. Yeah. I've taken my medicine and I apologize.
You've already explained how you're wrong and I still don't get it. So like you're one step ahead of me.
Well, I'm going to start saying it's CO so I can be right. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Ari.
Because when you said it is an acronym, I'm like, yeah, of course it is.
Initialism is the other thing. And
is that what it's called? Initialism? A CEO is initialism?
I guess so. Or initials. I'm going to have to do some more research on this. I thought I knew.
So PB&J is initialism?
Believe so. Yeah. I'm going to have to look it up. I'm going to do some more research. I have, this is shaking me to my core, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And it takes a big man to get on a podcast and say that they were wrong. So I applaud you for that.
Oh, I was very, very wrong.
And you're about to do it again.
I was so confidently wrong. It was, you know,
there is nothing weirder than when you're like absolutely sure about something and you would bet anything on it. And then somebody's like, you're an asshole. Look at this.
I know. I look up the definition of my phone. I'm like, well, damn. How about that?
Yeah. Sometimes just like, damn.
I am completely wrong here. Completely. Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, Andy, that happens to me quite often, especially in my marriage. So
it does. I'm,
yeah. You would not believe how wrong I am usually.
Oh, I would. I live that every day. But we do need to get to what Westwood Bruins wanted us to do, which I think is just ingenious. This is one of the better hypotheticals I've seen, and we have taking it a step further, and we're going to make it a draft instead of just presenting our list.
Which changes the entire dynamic.
It does change the dynamic. And there's a couple dynamics.
Because doing it alone was hard enough.
We were arguing about this via text during the day, several pieces of this. So I'll read it again. If you guys had to choose only five places to eat for the rest of your life, what would you choose? You can eat at home, of course, but these are the only five places, even if you're international. So you have to find these places. And I'm going to go a step further. You can't eat at home. You can only eat at these five places.
You can pick it up and take it home, but you can't cook at home.
Right. No grocery stores because that's cheating.
Because even if you could pick at home, it is still kind of interesting, I guess, because eating at home would be a safe haven. It still would come into play when you travel.
You would have
one less option when you travel.
You would have the option of everything when you ate at home because you can cook anything. So, no, this is you can pick these
five. So you have to like sacrifice foods out of your... You will never be able to eat X
right, and that's
if you don't pick it.
Part of the strategy here, part of the restaurant choice, because there are certain things that you may never get again if you're not careful, if you don't choose wisely. So that's where there's one in here that I think is incredibly versatile, is a huge value pick, and I'm not sure where you're
going to... I know exactly what you're going to do. I know who you're talking about, and you have to decide if you're going to reach for them at one just to knock the legs out of somebody
else. That's exactly right.
Because you have to think about, well, if that other person doesn't want to eat this type of food again, then good luck.
So let's before we get into this, you mentioned these are all American chain restaurants, and you're like, well, what if you go to Egypt? And I'm like, I don't care if I ever go to Egypt. Like, I don't care if I never leave America again, it will not bother me. It's
a wild take,
it's a big old country. There's a lot I haven't seen.
That is
seen.
Like something that I would say that you would make fun of me over.
Of course.
I feel like that would be like a soundbite. If I said, I don't care if I ever leave America ever again, you would clip that in the promo and put it on Twitter and everybody would think I'm a crazy
person.
But
I feel like it's on brand for me. Like, I make my own fun. I love Starkville and Pullman.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. I just like the idea of thinking, hey, I could never go to Mykonos. Like, the thing that I mean, you're like shrugging your shoulders. The thing that I love about America is that it's the best country in the world. The thing that I don't love about America is that 85% of the cities in America are indistinguishable.
And you know what every one of those 85 cities has?
Red Robin.
Free refills.
Yeah, well.
At Red Robin, free refills on fries.
Fries. I just mean, like, you know, if I blindfolded you and dropped you in a suburb in Frisco, which is
Frisco, Texas. Yeah. Home of Dude Perfect. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I picked you up with one of those video game claws and grabbed you by the shirt, you know, you're one of the, in an arcade, and I kept the blindfold on you and I dropped you in an outlet or at the same suburb in Detroit. You might not be able
so
to
you
tell
dropped
the
me
difference
in Novi,
of like where you were.
Basically,
because it's just like, you don't, it's what, how many Jimmy John's and car washes and McDonald's? It's all the same. Walmart, box stores, Piata, Jimmy John's,
it's the
Subway.
Other 15% that make it, but here's the deal.
I know, but when you travel internationally, there are places internationally that are truly unlike anywhere else in the
but
entire world.
But of course.
World.
But you,
and I
you
think
forget.
Seeing those things are valuable.
Oh, they are very valuable.
Yeah, you're the idiot that said he would never leave the state of Alabama again if I gave him $50 billion.
That makes me the idiot? I don't think so. I'm sitting in Gulf Shores.
The entire point of having that money is to be an asshole globally with it. That's the whole point. To get $50 million is so you can get a yacht or get a private airplane and live like an asshole.
Ari,
like, what are
I can
you talking
be an
about?
Asshole anywhere. And I can be an asshole right here in the good old U.S. of A.
I guess like $50 billion
in
Orange Beach can only hit so hard. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
this, I don't know. I'd want like a penthouse in the Porsche Tower in Miami.
Here's the deal, though.
Just because I can.
That the suburban life that you so despise
is like your. No, I don't despise
that is,
it.
That's my dream, dude.
No. I don't despise suburban life. I think that it would wear on me if I could never leave America ever again. Cause I went to Cabo with Britt last year. It was awesome. Like if you took all those little vacations that we go on away, I think that would really suck.
We got places here with beautiful beaches and tacos and margaritas.
Yeah, I know.
That's it's not that I
guess basically what you're saying is that if you can do it anywhere in the world, you can do it better in America.
Well, you get free refills. That's what I'm saying. Is it bad that, like, we went to Italy for 2 weeks a few years ago, and I loved it. It was amazing. We went to Florence was my favorite by far. Capri was amazing, just beautiful.
Yeah, I've been to these places too, and you're telling me that it's like, I'll never go in there again.
I really
or go to a place like that.
I really
again.
Miss the free refills. I gotta be honest with you.
Dude, if the worst thing that has to happen to you when you're overseas is that you pay an extra dollar to get a refill.
I also like the ice and the drinks.
Yeah. I feel like after being in Europe for 2 weeks, I longed for home. And I guess living in Europe or going to Europe for an extended period of time would suck because they don't have sports.
They do have the sports. Same, they're very passionate about their sports.
They have soccer. They don't have sports. But they don't have the NFL, and if you wanted to watch the NFL, there you'd have to stay up at 2 a.m. and you don't get to be a part of it. But I do think that I would love to. There's a million places I'd love to see in this world still, and
well,
I have to.
Then
draft
you're
going
to have to
that.
Draft accordingly because there are a couple restaurants that really are truly worldwide, so you can take those.
But I know you're not going to take them, so I have a strategy.
This is true. There's one that I know you're going to take that there's no way in hell I'm taking. So that's
and it'll be my last pick.
Yeah, yeah. I shouldn't have given that away. I shouldn't have said that because I
already knew. You didn't have to sweat it. I know you.
We'll be right back after these words. I'm going to give you the first pick.
Okay, so this is really, really hard. But I am going to go with Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, that's a great choice.
Because Cheesecake Factory has a encyclopedia for a menu.
Yes.
And if you're eating at the same, and Cheesecake Factory isn't even in my top five favorite restaurants, but if you are doomed to eat at the same place forever, the more menu options, you're going to need them, I think.
That is brilliant. And I will give you extra credit because Cheesecake Factory on the weekends has a brunch menu. So you're getting breakfast food in there too. Like that is
tremendous. That's the hardest thing about this whole draft is having breakfast food represented.
Yep.
Which is where I think there's another restaurant on here that has dinner and breakfast that I think you're going to
pick. That's exactly right. So
that I almost picked at number one because I know what you're going to pick.
And I am going to take Cracker Barrel number one.
I almost took it number one just to kick you in the balls, but I didn't do it.
It gives me breakfast. It gives me biscuits.
Yes.
Here's the other. So dinner, yes.
I should have taken it just to mess with you.
Well, I would have taken Cheesecake Factory, though. That's.
Oh, you have Cheesecake Factory in your
Big would have been. That would have been the only other way I could get breakfast in there, probably.
So we have consensus number one picks then.
We do. Okay. So Cracker Barrel gives me biscuits. It gives me breakfast food. It also gives me dinner, but there's a key portion of the dinner that I wasn't probably going to get anywhere else because I probably wasn't going to take something that specializes in this, and that's fried chicken.
That's good.
I thought about putting Popeyes on there, maybe taking Popeyes at number five, but I feel like there's so much more variety that I want to have available to me. So Cracker Barrel gives me fried chicken. At
Cheesecake Factory too, right?
You can. I don't know if it's bone-in fried chicken though. Like you can get real bone-in fried chicken at Cracker Barrel. Plus you can get catfish. You can get all the kind of southern foods.
Dumplings, corn, mashed potatoes.
Stuff that I really love, meat and three
types. But
also
pancakes if you want them.
Right, exactly. And bacon and biscuits.
And by the way, it's really good in my opinion.
Right, and the biscuits are great.
And it's cheap.
I need biscuits in my life. Well, at this point, money, I don't know if money's the biggest factor because...
Said the guy who was complaining about free refills for the last 7 minutes?
It's the principle. It's not the money.
It's not the money. It's the principle.
So what is your number two?
Okay. So my draft board's a little wonky here because I'm like very torn on what to do with number two, but I'm going to take Maggiano's.
Oh, good choice.
Because I'm a very big Italian fan and I think that is the best Italian chain.
So,
I didn't want to risk not being able to have a good piece of chicken parm or a good Italian experience if you ended up taking
so you feel somewhere. Like they're better than Buca di Beppo or Olive Garden.
I think they're a half step better than they are definitely better than Olive Garden.
Yeah.
And I know that you're going to take Olive Garden, so maybe I mispicked here, but Maggiano's to me is like Olive Garden is like Longhorn Steakhouse, and I think like Maggiano's is like Mitchell's.
I have not decided if I want to take Olive Garden. I'll admit it is on my draft board.
It's off my board now.
Yeah,
but
I don't know if I want, if I have to have Italian because there are some other places that I can take that have pasta dishes.
Yeah, like Cheesecake Factory has chicken parm, but there's just something about Italian restaurants, they hit different.
Also, there are two Italian restaurants that I might take over Olive Garden. In this.
Well, I'm done with Italian restaurants. If you want to tell me what you're, I mean, I guess we'll get to
well,
it,
right. But I don't know how I'm gonna do this because I haven't decided it. I love Italian food, but I haven't decided if I can live without it versus other things because there's some I can take here that have some pasta dishes where I can get that kind of, get the noodles and the sauce, but maybe not like noodles and great tomato sauce. So Carrabba's and Buca di Beppo would be in the mix as well. The family style Maggiano's, I like that. So Buca di Beppo might be the choice there. But for number two, I am going to go with Chipotle. Because you need a quick meal sometimes.
I was going to hammer you on that because I didn't think you were going to take a fast food. And you can't have a list that doesn't have something that you can go into.
Exactly.
But also, I think that not having a drive-through would be a really rough way to live your life.
I don't do drive-throughs very often, Ari. I order on apps and walk in and grab it. Like,
okay. I mean, I think drive-through, like if you're like on a pinch or you're in a rush.
Well, but if you go to Chick-fil-A and you go to the drive-through, you're going to wait. Like I love laughing at the saps waiting in the Chick-fil-A drive-through while I walk in and pick up the food.
Yeah, no, I walk into Chick-fil-A too. Yeah. But I just think that having the ease of a drive-through would be, I mean, for the rest of your life to never be able to go through one.
You gotta, I don't go through them things. Now if I can get away with it. So that's not a concern.
We get it, dude. You're skinny. We get it.
No, I just don't like drive-throughs. I would rather walk into the restaurant. I'd rather park, walk into the restaurant, grab my food, and go.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to hit you where it hurts here, but there needs to be a national chain of pizza on my list. Okay. And I know that you're a big Domino's guy, mm-hmm. but I think that it's the best pizza chain. So I'm going to take, to protect myself, Domino's, because I'm going to need a pizza place that delivers on my list somewhere.
Well, I'm glad you did that now, because now I have pizza, you know, my next three, I can put the pizza.
Were you going to take Domino's?
I was not.
If I didn't?
I was not.
Okay. So now I feel like a butt.
So do I go pizza? No, I'm not going to go pizza yet.
Well, I think that now we're probably going to be in a position where we don't overlap. So
my next one, a more diverse menu. This gets my burgers. They have steaks, but I'm not really going here for steak. The rolls I could eat for the rest of my life. I think you know where I'm going here. Texas Roadhouse.
There's no difference between Longhorn Steakhouse and Texas Roadhouse to me. So I was just going to take the other.
The rolls are better. No, no, no. Logan's Roadhouse is the one that's the same as Texas Roadhouse, but not as a...
I mean, I think to me, they're both... Like, Texas Roadhouse I had for dinner like 3 nights ago, and the rolls were really, really good.
They're amazing. And that's the reason I'm going.
Yeah. Well, listen, bud, this is a chain. So my number four is Mastro's. So if you're gonna put a steakhouse on there and you're gonna go with Texas Roadhouse, I'm gonna get the best piece of meat possible.
That's not where I'm going for steak, because my number four is Ruth's Chris.
But Mastro's is better than Ruth's Chris.
There's more Ruth's Chris's than there are Mastro's. And also there's no Mastro's in the state where I live, but there's a bunch of Ruth's Chris, and there's a bunch of Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, anywhere. I'm cool with relocating to the cities that Mastro's is in. Have you ever been there?
Yes, I have.
Mastro's, I think, is the best steak I've ever had in my entire life.
The best steak I've ever had is at a place called Charlie's. Which is, they have one in Tampa and they have one in Orlando. It's the Fabulous Filet. It's the center cut filet mignon, one per loin, two per steer, 20 ounce filet. It's massive. I'm normally a ribeye guy, but this steak is just it's probably partly their grill. They have a wood grill and then get it up to 1100 degrees. So they're moving the steaks. You can watch them move the steaks around in the different portions, the different temperature zones on the grill as they cook them. And they come out with a perfect seared crust. And none of the chain, like the big chain fancy steakhouses, match that.
But here's the thing that put me over the top on Mastro's, is that you have to have a place on your list that you can eat healthy if you need to.
Ruth's Chris, you can eat healthy.
But Mastro's has a tremendous seafood section.
Ruth's Chris has seafood too.
No, I know, but Mastro's has top of the line seafood places. I mean, Ocean Club and Mastro's is the same thing.
Right.
If you go in there and you get a piece of fish, it's going to be top of the line fish. And like the fact that you wasted a spot on Roadhouse for rolls.
Not feeling bad about that at all. Not feeling the least bit bad.
When other places have great bread too. I think that you mispicked there.
Nope. Cause that's my burger place too.
Okay, but you can get a burger at Ruth's Chris too during happy hour.
That's true, but I maybe don't want to spend $30 on a burger when I go. So
think about it. Money shouldn't matter at these, because no matter what, you're never going to be eating expensive meals ever again for the most part.
This is true. This is true. Most of them are not. All right.
My number five just is McDonald's.
I knew you were going there.
Go the rest of my life without eating a Filet-O-Fish. I waited till the end, but they also have a very expansive menu. So they have chicken nuggets. They've got the best fries in the fast food game, in my opinion. They've got the fish sandwich. The quarter pounder with cheese is the best fast food burger outside of In-N-Out. It's the most versatile menu too. And they also have breakfast items.
Yes.
So if you're in a rush, and they have great coffee. So that's another thing. Coffee is probably not on the list, but to be able to go through the drive-through and get coffee at McDonald's, I think is a pretty cool thing there. And like also, if I want to travel internationally, there's a McDonald's in every country I could possibly go to, so I won't starve to death.
Right. Now
and you've already written off traveling internationally. Yeah. So I think it covers a lot of bases.
So here's my debate at number five, because I don't have a pizza place. And I think you're right. I think you need a pizza place. My number five is going to be Panera Bread, for the coffee reason, for the breakfast, having another breakfast option, And then the kind of salad option.
Don't they have some crappy flatbread pizza they serve there?
They do now. I've never had it. I like the Fuji apple chicken salad if I'm eating there during, but or just soup in a bread bowl.
Yeah, because I'm looking at my list here, Andy, and there's no way that I can eat healthy unless I go to Mastro's.
Right, and so I can...
Right, like Cheesecake Factory's, like their salads are 3,000 calories there, so...
I can eat semi-healthy at Chipotle. I can eat pretty healthy at Chipotle. Like,
no, you can't. Yeah. If you never had any of the sour cream, you'd be, or the tortilla, you'd be fine.
Right, which I don't. I do bowls, and I don't do sour cream there.
Yeah, you do double chicken, some of that hot sauce, a little bit of that corn fajitas, and you're good to go.
Or you can, you can even do it as a salad, bowl. So you can do it without rice if you really want to. So I'm fine on the healthy part there. I need a pizza place. I do. And so you got to go national here because it's the only thing you can eat or only places you can eat. So I don't, you've taken Domino's, which Domino's.
They've got the best appetizer on the face of the earth.
I know you say that you're wrong, but that's okay. Which one
is it? If you put down Domino's cheesy bread and sliced it up differently and put it on the table at Ruth's Chris, people would say it's the best appetizer in the country.
Well, this...
But because it's from Domino's, we can't accept that.
I think Domino's is very good. Like, I like Domino's.
But you don't order the cheesy bread when you order Domino's, and it makes me question our friendship.
I've ordered
plenty. It's like a weird move.
I've had their cheesy bread. It's very good. And like, Pizza Hut breadsticks, also a very good
appetizer. Can't hold a candle to Domino's. And Pizza Hut, I actually think that you can make a case that Pizza Hut has better pizza than Domino's, and the stuffed crust is elite.
Well,
but the reason
they did that was great. I enjoyed that very much. But I'm not choosing Pizza Hut either, and I'm not choosing Papa John's.
Papa John's is trash.
Yeah, I'm not choosing any of those. Okay. Because you mentioned Domino's for the delivery aspect, but you can get almost anything delivered now. So that's
true.
Not as big of an issue. So I'm going to go with Blaze Pizza.
I've only been to those do-it-yourself pizza places a few times. They're pretty good.
So the Blaze has they have a thinner crust. They have a thicker. The high-rise dough is really good. They do a lot of. They have give you a ton of different topping options. The balsamic glaze they put on there is fantastic. If you want to go that route, so I think if I'm going to pick a pizza place, and they got great cheesy bread there too. So I think that would be the one because they're all over the country, and again, I can get it delivered pretty much anywhere. So.
Okay, so what are your five?
So my five are Cracker Barrel, Chipotle, Texas Roadhouse, Ruth's Chris, and Blaze Pizza.
Okay, so we both were on the same page with nice high-end steakhouse.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you gave up Chinese food forever.
I did. I had PF Chang's on my draft board. I had Peiwei on my draft board, and I
and that's why Cheesecake Factory is a very clutch number one pick because they've got everything.
Yeah, I trade biscuits at Cracker Barrel for that because you're.
What's crazy
now,
is
that a biscuit
you
at McDonald's.
Picked up 40% of your 40% of your board. The free bread at the beginning of the meal was the reason you chose that restaurant.
No, just the
do
one.
Do you think you'll? Oh, wait, no, not the free bread, but Cracker Barrel's biscuits is what really sung to you.
Oh,
so you've got Cracker Barrel biscuits.
Good biscuits matter. Like, McDonald's biscuits aren't good enough.
40% of your restaurants, the thing that speaks to you about that restaurant is the bread.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a bad thing, but I wonder after 5 years if you would regret that.
Nope. Not in the least. Not in the least. No, there are...
Because I'm versatile.
There were a couple that I had a hard time leading, like Outback. That's a fairly
Outback
versatile
was on
menu.
My big board.
Chili's. Because I can get tacos at Chipotle. They're not the best tacos, but I can get them.
You want to hear what's funny? When I initially did this, I created my top five the way I would do it. Mm-hmm. If we weren't drafting and I got my board.
You got the whole thing. Very nice.
Yeah, that was my whole board.
Yeah, the only one you took that I would probably also take was Cheesecake Factory. Now, Mastro's is great. I just went for the more widespread chain.
Because you don't want... I would rather live in Vegas or Scottsdale or Southern California anyway. So if I have to move, I have to move. In this extreme scenario... Moving is inconsequential based on what you get to eat for the rest of your
life. Right. I can get Ruth's Chris anywhere in America.
And Ruth's Chris is fine. Yeah. I mean, Fleming's, McCormick and Schmick's, all those places are on par.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
I think
they're
Mastro's
all good.
Is a little bit... I think Mastro's is a cut above the rest of them, and I think that Maggiano's is a cut above the rest of the Italian
I thought that was a really good choice, and I, you know, that was one that was hard for me because it came down to, I mentioned either Panera or the pizza place at number
five. If you would have put Panera on your list, I would have unplugged my computer.
But Italian, it's more for coffee and a place to work. But
oh, you could work anywhere, bud. You can pick up your Chipotle and work in the mall food court like I used to.
What percentage of people listening right now do you think would have chosen Starbucks as one of their five? I think it would be high. Like my wife.
Does that mean you're not allowed to get coffee? I didn't think that you're not allowed to get coffee.
Oh, so we can get coffee at gas stations?
I still think you could still go. Then I'm good. I still think that you could go to Starbucks and get a coffee.
Okay.
As long as you don't eat there.
Well, if I can get coffee at the gas station, I'm good.
Yeah. Every time I go on vacation with Britt, I have to Google nearest local coffee shop. And that's the first thing we do every morning.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't want to have Starbucks. She wants to have the unique.
Well, I would much rather have a good local coffee shop. I don't like Starbucks drip coffee. The Blonde Roast is
she says passable, it tastes burnt.
But it does taste burnt. The Blonde Roast is passable, but you go to a nice local place where they've got, they really take good care in selecting what their coffee is and tastes like, and I'll take that every time.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel good about the way. We could put this up for a vote, I think.
Oh yeah, we're gonna put this on the Twitter sphere and on the gram, and I think
I got the best of you here.
You might have the Cheesecake Factory was an inspired number one pick. I mean, that really was the Will Anderson of.
So if I would not have taken them, you for sure would have taken them, or would you have maybe forgotten about them?
I don't think I would have forgotten. I mean, because it is the most extensive menu, and it is, and you have a great dessert option. Like you could just go for cheesecake as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. And they have a full bar.
I got good.
I was wondering if you were going to have enough places with bars, because you do want to make sure you can drink with your meal every once in a while if you want to.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't consider that.
But
every single place on your list you can get a beer, right? Can you get a beer cracker?
Not Chipotle. Well, I guess you can you get one at Chipotle?
You can at Chipotle. You can, you're right. Beers at Chipotle.
You're right.
Yeah.
You can at, I don't know if you can at Blaze, but you definitely, but for you, you definitely can at Maggiano's, at Mastro's and at Cheesecake Factory. Yeah, so you're good on that.
So yeah, and if I had to go drink at a bar without eating, then that's a small sacrifice.
I wasn't sure if you were allowed to do that. So the thing, with both of us with the fancy steakhouse, if we want to have frou-frou cocktails, we can.
And it's a good date spot too, if you weren't allowed.
Right.
To
exactly.
Go get it. Cause these steakhouses have great happy hour menus.
Oh yeah. And that you're right about the steakhouse burger. I was talking about this with someone the other day. People kind of sleep on the fancy steakhouse burger. Sometimes it's not really you cheaping out if you get it.
It's a great burger.
Using the trimmings from the steaks to create the burgers, and the burgers are delicious. So
it's an elite level burger.
Yeah, and my friend Daniel Vaughn from Texas Monthly wrote about a trend now that the Texas barbecue places are using because they have to trim their briskets, and so they don't want to throw that away because the price of brisket is so high. They need to use every bit of it if they can. So they're using their trimmings to make kind of smash burgers, and some of those look amazing.
There's a steakhouse in Columbus, Ohio called The Top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of these old places that hasn't changed in 60 years that still kind of has a Frank Sinatra impersonator, dimly lit.
Yeah.
Everything is if you walked into 1970, it would be the same thing. They have a happy hour burger for $18. That they serve, I think, between 4 and 7. And I legitimately think, and I know that I'm prone to hyperbole sometimes, it is the best burger I've ever had in my entire life.
I would like to try that.
And next time you're in Columbus, maybe I'll be there with you. I'll take you.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
I would love to try that. I've done the burger joint at La Parker Meridian in New York, where it's kind of behind the wall and it's hidden. That one's fun. But yeah, I mean, if you're at a Fleming's or a Ruth's Chris or somewhere like that, there's no shame in ordering a burger. Capital Grill, it's gonna be good. You're not gonna regret it when you leave. So, I you know how Ari and I both feel about steak fries. You get real good steak, maybe some truffle oil on those steak fries too.
Oh, I don't know if you've been to Mastro's recently though. Go look up their free bread.
It's been a while.
It's an assortment.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
One's pretzel bread.
I went to the one in Anaheim. that apparently was Joe Torre's favorite spot when he was the Yankees manager and they would play the Angels. So
yeah, they put like three Italian crackers that have melted cheese on them, a warm pretzel roll, a pumpernickel, a sourdough, and something else, and it is to die for. Their pretzel tremendous. Bread is insane.
I do love a good pretzel
roll. And I think, like, and I don't want to be blasphemous here, I would take that bread bowl over Texas Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing that that's Texas blasphemous. Roadhouse can do better than Mastro's.
That roll is, you have to understand, to me.
Also, the cinnamon butter.
Yes. To me, that roll at Texas Roadhouse is better than almost anything you can eat.
Well, clearly. Like, because you doubled down on your steakhouses.
Yeah, yeah. I love
that. But if you ever ordered roll. A steak, if you ordered a steak at Texas Roadhouse, mm-hmm. that's complete misuse of the way
no, that you drafted. No, I would get a burger. You can get ribs. It's interesting. I don't have a barbecue place because there's certainly no national chain barbecue place that would be worth putting on the list.
So your exposure to barbecue is Texas Roadhouse ribs.
Yeah.
Which frankly suck.
It's a shame that I have to give up real barbecue, but if you've got to pick national chains, you're not picking a barbecue.
What are the national chains for barbecue?
Sonny's, I guess, is the closest thing to national, which started here in Gainesville, Florida.
No, Dickie's Barbecue
Pit. Dickie's. Okay, so maybe even worse. Wow. Yeah. They're bad. There's a couple. Famous Dave's, I think, is probably close to national, but
I just typed in USA's best barbecue chains. Jim and Nick's Barbecue, which I've never heard
of. Jim and Nick's is good. It started in Birmingham. They've expanded quite a bit, but the quality is fairly high from location to location. Four Rivers, which started in Orlando and is in most of the cities in Florida and has tried to go in some of the bigger cities in the South. Their quality from location to location is pretty good. Like there's one of those where I live, and it's probably actually the best barbecue place in town. And
I've never seen that in my life. So
yeah, exactly. You're not going to see it outside. Like it is mostly in Florida. So there's not a real national chain. Like Rudy's in Texas, if they were national, because Rudy's is considered very pedestrian barbecue in Texas, but would be by far the best place in town in most of the country.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say another blasphemous thing. Even if the best barbecue place on the face of the earth was a chain, I don't think I would have drafted it.
Oh, I would have.
Like, I could do without barbecue for the rest of my life.
Yeah, see, I don't... I mean, obviously, I could in this scenario, but I'd rather not. So, that... But the rules of the contest made it where I couldn't really do...
Yeah, I mean, next week we should draft genres of food, which we've never done.
That's a good idea.
But it's just like... Because, like, we... Like, I would take Chinese food over barbecue.
Listen... I'm not going to yell at you for that. I understand why. I love Chinese.
But barbecue is your whole brand, so I don't want to make you feel bad.
No, it is my favorite genre of food.
You know one thing that both of us gave up?
What's that?
Good deli.
We did. We don't have a sandwich shop. Like a cold, like...
What's the best national chain deli? Jason's? Or Panera?
Neither.
Because Jason's, you can have corn, but like, where can you get corned beef that's not Jason's nationally?
Not many places. Now, Jason's Salad Bar is pretty good. So that,
yeah, they got those little cornbread.
That's actually not a bad choice in this. Like Jason's would have.
They've
been
got soups, sandwiches, and salads.
Yeah, but I was thinking more just a sandwich shop, like a Jersey Mike's or a Firehouse, if that's your thing. I'm actually surprised neither one of us picked one of those.
I think Jersey Mike sucks because it's got the worst bread in fast food sandwiches. I think Jimmy John's has the best bread, but I would get tired of their sandwiches.
Yeah, Jimmy
and Subway's low quality.
If you could fill the Jimmy John's bread with the Jersey Mike's meat, it would be...
Jersey Mike's bread is laughably bad.
It's not that
bad. It like falls apart. I when I order something that I don't like, I still usually eat all of it. Jersey Mike's is one of the few places where I've thrown it away.
I think the fact that they... Now, do you get the Mike's juice, the vinegar and oil...
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is that makes it so... They put so much of that on there, it makes
I get
it
vinegar and oil on every sandwich and the bread doesn't fall apart.
It makes it very soggy, especially... That's the one, if you order on the app, you better get there right when they put it in the bag or you're going to be dealing with soggy
sandwich. I don't like stipulations like this. It bothers me. Just learn how to make a sandwich that doesn't fall apart. Right.
So
all your competitors have figured it out.
I actually was tempted to put Subway on there just because there is a Subway everywhere. Like,
it is the largest chain in America. Did you know, in the world? I mean, did you know that?
I mean,
do you know Subway has more locations than McDonald's
in America? I would believe that. I didn't realize.
I think it's worldwide as well.
But I was tempted to put Subway on there just because you can always find a Subway.
And Subway actually has pretty good sandwiches.
They've gotten better.
I'm fine with them.
I mean, I ate so much Subway growing up that
Subway has pretty good breakfast sandwiches, believe it
they
or not.
They do. I like those. And you can turn that, you can not have a sandwich. You can turn it into a salad. And it's a pretty good
salad. I just basically
just
resigned myself to the fact, though, if I'm only going to be able to eat five things for the rest of my life, I'm just like, being fit is just not going to be in the cards for me.
Well, I can tell you, if I want to be in good shape, which one of these I'm eating at the most. Like, that's easy.
Chipotle,
yeah. So, yeah. But Chipotle means I still get chips and salsa, which is huge.
Yeah, and also one last food take. Chipotle's red hot mm-hmm. salsa, I think, is one of the most delicious salsas on the face of the earth.
It's tremendous, and it is.
It's very, very hot.
Yes,
but the flavor's tremendous.
I put that on every bowl I get. Sometimes I'll get two scoops of it.
So sometimes I feel like it's overly hot. It's so spicy.
Yeah.
And I'm not a spice wuss. I think that I wish there was a salsa that had that flavor that wasn't quite as hot.
See, I like it that hot. I like it when mainstream restaurants are willing to do something that a lot of people are probably going to find uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Fair enough. In terms of spice.
I always get it. So
yeah, I love that one. But yeah, this was fun. Like, When he initially sent that to us, I was like, I don't know about this. This was much more mentally challenging than I thought it would be.
I absolutely could live off of your list too.
I think you're number one. Now, we'd both be really, really big, but you could live off Cheesecake Factory.
Is Cheesecake Factory the most unhealthy restaurant in America, though?
You know, didn't they drop their portion sizes a bit when the government made the law that you had to reveal how many calories each dish had if you had a, you know, X number of locations?
I don't know. All I know is the last time I went to Cheesecake Factory, every single entree, including the salads, were all over 2,000 calories.
Right. I think they might have a 3,000 calorie salad, which is just mind blowing. It's crazy. They got good bread too.
Yeah.
You got the brown bread and the sourdough. So
yeah,
what's my dessert?
I almost tossed Dairy Queen in there, by the way.
Yeah,
because Dairy Queen's got really good ice cream and they've got burgers and fries.
I thought about dessert options, but you know, Texas Roadhouse has dessert. Ruth's Chris has dessert.
The only problem I have with your list is that every time you eat for the rest of your life, it's going to be a pain in the ass.
Is it? Why is that?
Chipotle at the wrong time of day is the most miserable place to wait in line.
Order on the app. Why is this so hard for you?
I guess so. I just like my...
Like if you wait in line at Chipotle, you are a complete sap.
Yes. For somebody who gets as frustrated as I do in public, you would think I would adapt the app life more. But the thing with Chipotle that you're not taking into account and that I sure do is that if you're not there to watch how much chicken they're putting on your bowl, you put it on the app, you're getting a horseshit size of chicken sometimes.
You order double, dude.
Yeah. I like to be the inspector on the double.
By the way, I'm looking up desserts at Blaze Pizza. S'more pie, one of their desserts. Oh, wow. Tremendous.
Go look up Domino's desserts. You don't have to. You've got the app on your phone. You're very familiar.
Listen, the brownie cookie.
They got a lava cake at that place.
The lava cake and the brownie cookie get ordered quite a bit at my house for the kids.
Yeah.
So
Plus, their wings aren't bad.
Their wings are passable.
They got pasta?
They do. Yeah. I mean, Domino's is a good choice.
Domino's' pizza has tremendously improved.
It has. And
in the last 10 years.
And it's funny because they came out with the commercials where they're like, we've listened and we heard you. And I still waited a few years before I tried it again because it had gotten really bad. But since we tried it again after they made the change, it's a place we order from quite a bit.
It hits.
So,
all right, I'm very curious to see who won this. That was a tremendous podcast.
I think the people are going to pick you. I do. Because I think the Cheesecake Factory number one is the most inspired choice. But
I also think, too, that there's too many people that I think mine are more versatile than yours.
I want all of you guys out there to send us your five. Because I really want to see what your five are and your rationale for them. Because I think, like I said about Starbucks, I think there are going to be some people who pick Starbucks because they like eating at Starbucks. They like the egg bites. They like the croissant sandwich.
My wife is a huge egg bites person.
Those egg bites are great. We started buying egg bites at the grocery store. They sell them where you can pop in the microwave, and they're fantastic. That's a great, healthy, you know, I need something right now, or as the bulk of a meal. So it's a good way to go. But yeah, I am very intrigued. All of you out there in listener land, please share on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you can find us, share your five, because and tell me why. Like, I really want to know why, because this was a harder exercise than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. I also knew that we both were going to get good lists without stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah, because we have a little bit different priorities.
We're very, very. Yeah. Yes.
So, well, I can't wait to see everybody's lists, and I hope we've made you extremely hungry. And we'll talk to you on Monday.